This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. In the record books of the COVID-19 pandemic, there will be images from the spring of 2021. Officials at the White House and around the country taking off their masks and sharing their smiling faces when the CDC announced that masks were no longer necessary for vaccinated people. It was a moment, a true shift. But in many ways, it was an artificial and arbitrary moment. Pandemics don't have a finish line. Vaccinated people aren't marathon runners with their arms outstretched, crossing over some kind of post-pandemic finish line. Dr. Howard Markel, medical historian with the University of Michigan and sometime guest on Stateside, tells us that pandemics are more marathon sprints that turn into jogs and then slow down to speed walking, maybe ultimately crawling before they stop. He joins us now. Howard, welcome back.
Great to be here, April.
I should mention that we're still not quite face-to-face.
That's true.
Yet.
That's true. I would like to be great. What is here? What does here mean?
I know.
Sounds almost presidential. Depends on what is, I guess.
What have you noticed about how pandemics and epidemics typically come to their close? What length of time is that arc?
Well, it's generally, as you just said so well, a very vague ending, a sputtering out, if you will. T.S. Eliot wrote a poem in 1925 called The Hollow Men, and there's a phrase in there that this is the way the world ends. It's not with a bang, but with a whimper. The point is that there isn't a red light or a green light and then it's over. What we're seeing in America, for example, is a tumbling down of both the cases and the deaths, which is exactly what you would expect with a successful mass vaccination program. Aside from concepts of herd immunity or how many people are vaccinated, we have seen rather consistently for a couple of months now, fewer cases and fewer deaths. And the hope is that the more people we vaccinate, the more freedom from this disease we gain.
This is in such stark contrast to the messaging I feel like we've been getting from Washington to Lansing and all points in between, saying, you know, the CDC says if you're vaccinated, it's okay to take that mask off in indoor and outdoor settings. And I just feel like I can't get my head around it. Like, are we, does that mean we're done? It sounds like you're saying we're not.
Well, no, I think if you are doubly vaccinated, if you took a two-dose vaccine, if you're fully vaccinated, the risks are incredibly small that you would contract COVID. And if you did, you might not even get sick at all, but you might be able to transmit it. That's more than a theoretical risk, but it's not a huge risk like it was when we were telling people who were not vaccinated, say, 8 or 9 months ago, you know, don't go out and intermingle with other people. The reality is that if you're doubly vaccinated, you probably don't have to wear a face mask. I say probably because nobody knows the exact answer. Mm-hmm. But a lot of us are wearing face masks in public anyway just to calm other people down. And that's more of a prophylactic use of the face mask than an immediate use of it.
Mm-hmm.
And people are hesitant to give up their mask, by the way. You know, that's the other part. It's almost like a security blanket.
When we're talking about long-lasting public health crises, the bubonic plague or smallpox or, I don't know, maybe even the AIDS epidemic, which we now think of as a manageable, if dangerous, chronic condition – do you see a certain level of acceptance that comes with human behavior? People saying, this is something that is with us now. This is something that we must live with.
Well, certainly, you know, the more familiarity that the human species has with a disease or an event or any number of things, the better they handle it. That's how our brain works. In terms of HIV, it's a manageable problem, a chronic disease, if you have good insurance that can pay for the medications. But if you live in an impoverished country and don't have access to that care, it's still pretty deadly and rather quickly at that. What I think with COVID or coronavirus is that this is not the last of it. We may see the same strain or other strains or other variants come back in the years to come. We may need more than one COVID shot, almost an annual basis, as we do with the influenza shot. And that will show some acceptance, the way you describe, April, some acceptance that this disease is with us. So time will tell. I am not happy, particularly looking at some states with, how badly some of the states in the United States are accepting vaccination. And I think that will prove a long-term problem of what's called endemic infectious diseases, where cases just pop up here and there among these stragglers who are still not immune to COVID.
Right. We go from a pandemic to something endemic.
Yeah.
The other thing that strikes me is, if we do talk about this as a long tail that needs a bit of an adjustment for, like you say, right, the endemic things that pop up, and it's not really a smooth ramp down.
Nor was it a smooth ramp up, by the way. It wasn't exactly an escalator ride up either. So,
for sure. For sure. What are some of the other difficulties that you can think of for societies adjusting to long dwindling aspects of epidemics?
Well, I think the biggest hurdle that most of us, including myself, are facing is one in our own mind. Of course, viruses are invisible to the human eye. Unless somebody is coughing or sneezing, we really can't tell if somebody just breathing on us is, infecting us. So it was really quite a scary situation. And now, after a year and some months of holing up in our homes and using up our Netflix accounts, when we start venturing out, like going to the grocery store or to the mall or to the movie theaters, it seems somewhat overwhelming. The noise of a crowd, too many people, can be somewhat overwhelming. And so I'm recommending to people, first of all, get doubly vaccinated, but then, sort of stick your toe in the water like it's a cold pool and see how you do, and then dip a little bit more and a little bit more until you feel comfortable. And this is a psychological thing, though, not an epidemiological problem. This is how we are all going to be dealing with re-entering the world pre-COVID. And of course, we're all anxious to do that, but we're not going to do that overnight.
When public health crises do peter out, does that sometimes lead to substantive changes in human behavior or in society?
Rarely. The most common conclusion to an epidemic or a pandemic is something I call profound amnesia. As soon as it's gone, people go on to their merry ways and live their lives and pursue their interests as they did before. By the way, we've never had, though, a pandemic that basically shut down the world for 1 year and a couple of months. So we've never had anything quite that extensive ever right. happen in human history. But most of the time, people just forget about it. And most vexingly, at least to me, is that the epidemiological cracks in the armor that led to that problem in the first place are also forgotten about. And then 20 or 30, whatever years later, guess what? The problem pops up again. And so that's the other thing about these infectious diseases. We never really conquer them. At best, we wrestle them to a draw, and we always have to be on guard.
What do you think the best way is then for public health folks and leaders to help people adjust to changing circumstances? I mean, is there a way, if infections continue, to just say, hey, COVID is still going on, let's stay the course in terms of trying to restrict it, and please do continue to get vaccinated if you haven't already?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of the message. A lot of it depends if a new type of COVID comes up, or say a different form of influenza, or nothing at all. So it really depends on what's out there in the viral universe. But frequent communication with our leaders, such as the head of the CDC or the Surgeon General, so that they become familiar faces to you and you trust them. And you can go to their websites too, by the way. The CDC.gov is a superb website for information on almost any disease you can come up with, but especially COVID. And while their advice may change depending on the situation, by talking with that person or at least watching them and listening to them, we grow to trust them and to follow their advice, just like you do with your own doctor. So I'm looking forward to how Dr. Fauci and his colleagues continue to communicate with the American people. But, you know, it really is a two-way dialogue, because if the doctors we have entrusted with our health are telling us to get vaccinated and it's safe, then I would say that's pretty good advice to follow.
Yeah. So if the pandemic falls in a forest and no one's around to hear it because they're all out maskless at a restaurant, does it make a sound?
I think only if the bear is a pope.
Unqualified.
There is a joke about that somewhere. No, look, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's exactly it. And they are invisible to begin with, and they don't leave a sound, and they often don't, but they do leave a trace, you see. And they leave a trace, in this case, of a record of, you know, an incredible amount of record of deaths and cases that rivals the influenza pandemic of 1918. So for me, as a public health educator and an epidemiologist and a historian who talks about these things all the time and looks at these, I see this as a golden opportunity for our public health leaders to better instruct the American people to live healthier lives, and also for us as taxpayers to say, hey, we got to fund our public health agencies because look how much we needed them in this past year.
Yeah. Well, Howard, it's not over, but we really appreciate all the help that you have given and continue to give us in figuring out the strangeness of the
pandemic. It's not over until the stoop-shouldered historian sings.
Dr. Howard Markel, Distinguished Professor of the History of Medicine at the University of Michigan and upstanding, straight-spined human being. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, April. I look forward to seeing you in person soon.